the smart organisations and the businesses which have got a rock-solid modern workplace practice, they've got that digital HQ, their workers are productive, their workers are happy, and it becomes a business enabler for good people to do their job well.
Hello and welcome to Identity Today, your go-to for what's what on all things security, digital identity and biometric tech. I'm your host, Blair Crawford. Today in the show, I'm joined by Noel Allnut, co-founder and managing director of Solista. Topic of conversation today is the modern workplace. We got all of Noel's insights into how enabling the modern workplace allows people to do their jobs well. We talk about security concerns, but we also talk about user experience opportunities. I hope you enjoy the chat.
I think it might be worthwhile to take 1 minute to discuss security.
So we're back where it all started. We've got Noel on, who was the first guest in our podcast over a year or so ago. Welcome back to the show, Noel.
Hey, Blair. Thanks very much for having us back. Really enjoyed the last conversation we had, and I can't believe that it's been over 12, nearly 18 months since we last did this. So much has changed across the world since we first had the conversation. And of course, it's been great to see your organization, Daltrey, flourish at the same time. So yeah, good to be back.
Likewise for you. What's been going on at Solista in the last 12, 18 months? Lots by what I can see.
Yeah, last 12, 18 months has been a really fascinating time for us. And I think it can be defined by doing the basics well whilst innovating. So we've really doubled down on a couple of core areas, and that is around zero trust security. Our professional services arm looking at helping organizations achieve compliance such as NIST and ASD, Essential Aid Compliance, etc. And then really cloud modernization. So they're the kind of three pillars that we've had, helping people modernize their workplace, modernize the way that they deliver data back to their business. So it's been a fascinating time for an organization like ours, and it's ever-changing, right, which keeps it interesting.
So you touched on it, the modern workplace. What is that right now? Because that's going to be the top of the conversation today. What is it in your mind?
Well, you know what? It's interesting. As I was doing some preparation before we connected today, I was having a conversation with some of my team as well as some of my peers and some of the chief security architects out there in the community. And I was talking to them, what's the modern workplace? And it's kind of an interesting question to ask, right? Because it's kind of treated as two ways. In the last 18 months, there is where do we work? Is the modern workplace? Do you know what I mean? So the tagline that I heard, and I thought it was right, we've gone from making decisions around the boardroom table to making decisions around the kitchen table. The decisions are the same, but the location's very different. One where people are dressed in suits and they're drinking coffees, the other one where people are dressed in sweatpants and helping their kids do homeschooling at the same time that they're logging on and making critical decisions or helping facilitate projects, etc. So where we work has completely changed. When it comes to the modern workplace, out there in the marketplace, we talk about it in terms of the application landscape. So the application landscape where the tools in which organizations use to collaborate and communicate with their customers. That's kind of where we see the modern workplace today. And it's really evolved from that traditional VDI type infrastructure, taking your work desktop and having a copy of that at home, to all the different SaaS applications. And it's really that landscape's taken such a big shift as well. You look at Office 365, has gone from strength to strength. We saw the innovation that Microsoft injected when we went into the pandemic around tools like Teams. We saw Salesforce buy Slack for $27 billion. And I was reading up about that, and something really resonated with that around where will a head office be in the future? And the modern workplace is going to be core of that digital HQ. So yeah, what is the modern workplace? It's a broad question, but really we see it where people are working and how are they collaborating and working to deliver the work they need to do.
So one of the inhibitors to the modern workplace, especially because we were accelerated into this position in a lot of ways because of the pandemic, et cetera, was some of the legacy tech that still existed within businesses. And although organizations would have had a digital transformation strategy in place, what are you seeing in terms of legacy tech that's maybe not enabling the modern workplace as easily as you would like it to be, but where there are some quick wins as well?
Yeah, we've spent the last 8 years helping organizations break the shackles of legacy technology. And the way that we secure the modern workplace has historically been with legacy applications and legacy tools. The challenge now with this instant on environment whereby people can spin up a Slack instance or a 365 instance within 30 seconds with a credit card or a PayPal account, how does security keep up with that? How does identity keep up with that? And organizations have built structures and processes and tick compliance boxes off traditional technologies and legacy technologies that have enabled customers to use the tools that they use today. So I think that's really one of the big fundamental challenges, is that just some of the legacy tech just hasn't kept up to speed. Therefore, it's slowed down the adoption of some of the more modern tools inside the modern workplace. We're seeing smart organizations shift everything to SaaS and ensure that they're always up to speed, always on, in terms of their compliance and their security for those type of tools. We're also seeing one of the tough areas of traditional modern workplace and traditional ways of serving that data is there's no orchestration or automation. So that's a big holdup as well, right? As you look to onboard and offboard customers quickly, if you don't have that built into your environment, and which a lot of the legacy technologies don't, then it really slows down the speed that you can innovate and onboard people. And of course, with such a skills shortage in Australia specifically, and the demand for talent, the difference between getting somebody over the line and not getting somebody over the line could be the speed of the experience they have when they're doing a demo environment as part of an interview or something like that. So it's a real challenge, the legacy tech that's still around. But I also feel for the end user customers and the CISOs out there, the IT managers out there, the CIOs out there, because things have changed so quickly in the last 18 months. And 2 years ago, we might not be having this conversation around legacy technology holding back in the modern workplace. But the landscape's changed so quickly, you have to have that empathy for the people who made those decisions. They were the right decisions at the right time.
Do you think being forced to act, even though there was some short-term pain over the last kind of 12 to 18 months, but overall we've ended up with better security postures for our organizations?
I would say we absolutely have. I would say that generally organizations have improved their security. There's still a long way to go. And I think that's been driven by a few factors. One, it would be the awareness in the marketplace for the fact security has to be at the top of the agenda. So if you have a look at any of the literature that's coming out there, security must be implied inside organizations. We're even seeing bonus structures for executives be aligned to reducing the residual risk of their business. And I think that's really important. So yes, because of that extra awareness where organizations are aiming to be more secure. So that has improved. There's also just been that general awareness of all the hacks which have been out there, right? So we in Solicitor, we've got a piece of consulting work we do for most of our clients as we're kicking off large projects, and it's a ransomware readiness assessment. So organizations are asking themselves, what happens if I do get hit? And going through the process and simulation of assuming that through testing and then making decisions a lot faster to remediate. There used to be that case of you'd get a report and say, hey, this needs fixing, and you'd get to it. It wouldn't be prioritized. There'd be a systematic way of getting to some of that. Now it's, here's a problem. I need to fix it. Let's go make that happen. So I think the awareness is there. I think the hype of security is there. Like always, it takes some time for everybody else to catch up. But all in all, I think we're secure than we were 18 months ago.
One of the big challenges we're seeing in organizations is still figuring out who's responsible or what group of people are responsible for the overall security posture. Because you've obviously got your strategy, your policy, but then you've got your execution layer as well. What are your thoughts based on what you're seeing at the moment around who is responsible or how organizations are managing shared responsibility well?
That's a really good question. So who's responsible? Well, if you break it down, who would get fired if there's a breach? That would be the chief security officers and potentially the CEO. So they are the people whose heads on the block for this. It's a fairly thankless task to try and secure against global threats, which can move faster than you can. and always try and keep not even ahead of the game, just parallel with the game. So it's a tough one. So that would be where you have a look at the overall responsibility. But I think you mentioned the right words there, shared responsibility. It's everybody's problem. The chief security officer can't sit on your couch at night and check your emails to make sure you don't click on a link. And with all of us working from home, there has to be a level of common sense and responsibility. We're starting to see cybersecurity awareness training mandated inside organizations, and that's something that we really support. It's not fair to give the responsibility to the people without giving them the adequate training at the same time. It's becoming kind of a real significant part of a business's onboarding, as well as the ongoing training and uplift of their staff. As I mentioned, we've seen some organizations align bonuses to cybersecurity strategy, and those bonuses are either for the whole of business to make sure that they are maintaining the right amount of day-to-day hygiene, and then also those bonuses align to brand reputation and preventing the organizations from a breach. I think that's important, but again, that comes back to that responsibility. Who's getting the bonus for it? It's the person who's responsible for it, just the same way as sales directors get commission when the dollars come in, right? So I think that's really it overall, it's a shared responsibility. No one or two people can take absolute ownership for it. The accountability sits at the C-suite. The responsibility sits with everyone.
One of the things we're seeing as well is, and you've always had this with security and user experience, and it's the offset. You know, the better the security gets, the worse the user experience gets. But one of the concerns in market is that if the user experience around security is really bad and cumbersome, some team members might look to circumvent that in certain ways to take shortcuts. Are you seeing much of that still within the marketplace? And I think it is probably a bigger problem now that we're dealing with this distributed workforce.
It's still a huge problem. Shadow IT has been a significant problem for a long time. It's just new tools that give the visibility of shadow IT has really emphasized how big a problem it is. And if we have a look at a lot of the breaches out there, they're not always coming in from the traditional ways of getting in there. They're coming from applications which haven't been turned off, or test environments where they haven't shut S3 buckets in AWS because it wasn't seen at the time as critical or classified data. So, yep, there's definitely that kind of pocket there of shadow IT, which is still a risk. The digital user experience conversation has really escalated from external into internal as we have gone down the modern workplace path. So most of the money used to be spent on the applications that were making the cash for the business from the outside. So whether it's your tier one applications where your customers make orders into something like a menu log, or one of the food delivery companies that spend a lot of money on securing that app, that spend a lot of money getting visibility and performance on that app. Why? Because it's got what paid the bills. If that app went down, there was day-to-day loss or hour-by-hour loss of significant money. Therefore, there was the right TCO was in place in order to spend the money to ensure that that app remained up and functioning. And what we've seen since the pandemic is that so much more money is being spent on the visibility and user experience of the internal applications, because people are living inside these applications day in, day out. They have to be able to have the right amount of uptime, and they have to be able to access these applications quickly. Otherwise, it becomes a barrier to their productivity. So the high performance sizes that we speak to and the customer focused consultancies like Solista, we are really pushing this message that cyber needs to be an enabler to the modern workplace, not something that holds you back. So looking at different ways we can potentially use biometrics to log in more effectively, or look at different identity strategies in order to help people onboard or offboard effectively. With such a skill shortage for the amount of roles that we have in digital and engineering and security, the difference between somebody getting frustrated and looking to leave their job versus remaining where they are could come down to the way that they access their applications. If a high-performing person is scratching their head because they can't log into Salesforce because of legacy ways that they're using multi-factor, or you've got potentially an engineering team that's taking 5 to 10 minutes to get inside their Jira applications. That's just not going to cut it. Not only from the fact that it's costing the business a significant amount of money in terms of downtime or productivity, but for the fact it's frustrating. And if the next organization offers $5,000 more and a seamless internal user experience, then people are going to move for that because, let's be honest, a lot of people at home, people are getting frustrated, people are having to work around their children. It's things that kind of were accepted norms or accepted frustrations now are big frustrations and are really winding people up. So I think that digital user experience of internal applications is absolutely vital, and security's got a big role to play there.
We've got a few job roles out at the moment. I'm going to ask our people and culture team to update it with awesome authentication experience at Daltrey internally, just in case we're losing any talent because we're not shouting about that. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, honestly, do it. I mean, it's. I know when we make some policy changes or we look into technologies around enhancing what we do to our customers, the first question I get asked from the engineers is, can we do this ourselves? Which is, we're in a fortunate position, right? We resell and integrate some of the best technologies in the world, so we can eat our own dog food, so to speak. But it definitely does help when it comes to retaining talent.
Just bit of an intermission here, just to recap, because you've covered a lot of great stuff already. So if you were to look at the organizations that do the modern workplace security user experience well, could you try and summarize what are the common elements of how they're approaching their world right now?
The best way to describe that is in the most simple way. The characteristics of organizations that do this well are they enable productive workers to do their job well. And that's the main part of this, right? The smart organizations and the businesses which have got a rock-solid modern workplace practice, they've got that digital HQ. Their workers are productive, their workers are happy, and it becomes a business enabler for good people to do their job well. And it also becomes an opportunity for them to expand into other areas because they're not wasting time inside unproductive systems and processes. We've been out and seen businesses where they've had to hire more staff and hire more people just to deal with inefficient processes. That can't go on anymore, right? So the right businesses, really simple. They enable productive workers to do their job well. The other thing I'd say to that, though, would be that technology is one aspect to it. But I would say something more powerful than technology is the executive leadership mindset. So if a business has a mindset of productivity, collaboration, teamwork, digital customer experience, and really that continuous evolution, continuous improvement in the way that they interact with their customers, then they make the technologies work the way that they need to for their customers. And that's, I think, is really important. It's the mindset and the commitment from the leadership team, which means focus, it means budgets, it means communication, to the wider group of everybody in the business. This is where we see businesses doing well. It's they prioritize it. They have the mindset to prioritize, how are my team going to come to work and do their work every day? Do I care about that enough to really push this, or did they just turn up and they're lucky to have a job? Those businesses with the mindset and the commit to it are the ones which are doing it really well.
So if that's what success looks like for these organizations, can you share any cautionary tales, what not to do, if you want to create a real collaborative, productive, modern workplace with happy team members?
Yeah, well, this modern workplace is one part of the happy team members, so there's no kind of silver bullet. But if we have a look at that specific thing, we have the first cautionary tale that I would talk about would be to really start with, why are you buying these tools and why are you looking to modernize? If it's not going to fundamentally move the needle in terms of the way that you interact with your customers or the productivity of your internal users and the security of your organization, then there's really got to be question marks as to why you would buy these tool sets. Because if you have a look in the IT industry, in the security industry specifically, we're really in this choice paradox where there's so much choice. We did a presentation to 15 senior executives probably 3 months ago before we went into the most recent Sydney lockdown. And it was about our Zero Trust Alliance. And we did the research, and there's 190 vendors who have all gone past Series B funding or are listed on a stock exchange that talk about that they're the leaders in Zero Trust. So it's really interesting that you then have this choice to make around clarifying, why am I doing this and what am I looking to achieve? So that would be the first cautionary tale I'd talk about, is just really understanding why you're looking to make these decisions, so you don't A, waste money, and B, just go down this scenario that we commonly see, that organizations got every tool under the sun, but they're actually no more secure and no more productive than they were before they bought them. In fact, they've probably got more cycles of complexity inside their business for the sake of ticking a couple of boxes which don't necessarily secure you. Other cautionary tales would be around making sure that you have real clear alignment to a recommended framework or architecture, and try not to deviate too much from that. The CISOs that I speak to on a regular basis know that the goal is to maintain a high level of security posture and reduce the residual risk of an organization. How they do that is really up to them, and there's so many options to go down. But as long as it's fundamentally attached to a framework, that is a good way to go. We see too many businesses out there who've started on a path, and they kind of start a little bit and then come back, and then they'll go further down the track with another compliance and not quite finish it and come back. And what they end up doing is spinning so many cycles. Why they started this in the first place to be more secure gets forgotten about. So the advice would be, start somewhere and stick to it. It doesn't have to be perfect, but stick to it to its completion, and then evolve and optimize and evolve and optimize with that continuous improvement based around a foundation that you can work with.
You just you mentioned a moment ago Zero Trust Alliance, which is something you introduced to market. Was it beginning of July, mid-July? What is the Zero Trust Alliance?
The Zero Trust Alliance is something Solicitor is very proud of. We've worked with our vendors over the last 3 months to bring together a technology stack and a framework to help organizations go on the journey to zero trust, which is never trust, always verify everybody inside and outside of your organization. And we're really excited by it. What does it mean in practice? Well, we're looking to help customers gain a unified experience when they look to adopt the leading technologies in the market for the areas of zero trust. So, for example, we've got Okta for identity access management, CrowdStrike for endpoint detection and response. We've got CyberArk for privileged access management, Illumio for network segmentation, Netskope for CASB and cloud DLP, and Mimecast for email security and archival. When you bring them together and use the power of the integrations which have been built, an organization can really move the needle on their cybersecurity posture. And we're also looking to make it easy, because we see too many organizations have got the best tools, but they don't talk to each other. So they're only as good as where the gap is between that tool set. We'll look to expand on that with capabilities in biometrics and capabilities in logging and SIEM as we go. But that's a real nucleus of what we're doing today, and the uptake's been phenomenal. To complement our technology stack and help organizations gain zero trust, what we've also done is built a zero trust framework, which is an engagement where our consultants will go in and have conversations and do a baseline assessment of an organization's security posture in relation to zero trust. So then they've got the data and they've got the evidence of where they need to go next. Because again, there's so much hype out there in the market versus the reality of how businesses will become more secure. Organizations want to have that framework and process in order to achieve it. So it's exciting times. I've been really grateful for the work that those vendors have done to get behind us. We've had a lot of really good press, and we see it as the real foundation of where Solicitor goes next in adding value to our customers and helping them become more secure.
So if we were to think back on this discussion and then consider what the modern workplace and security may look like in the next few years, do you see any major changes that have still to come outside of the acceleration and how things are different now already based on how we're working?
I think the modern workplace will follow a lot of the trends that we're seeing across other parts of technology and other parts of business. So I think the modern workplace will be injected with a lot more automation. It will be injected with a lot more orchestration. There will be additional services added to the modern workplace, which will expand beyond internal customers out to external customers. So we're seeing so much more of that now with collaboration tools like Teams and Slack. I know my team use Teams to speak to their customers, to solve problems, to give guidance, to share documents, etc. Happened a lot less 18 months ago. It definitely happened a lot less 3 or 4 years ago. I'm a bit more old school. I like to pick up the phone and speak to people. But I think that's going to be a big evolution whereby we have these virtual workshops and these virtual engagements with customers, which all live on a tenant of somebody else's modern workplace. So security is going to have to keep up with that. That's going to be very interesting to see how security keeps up with the expansion of the multi-tenanted modern workplace and how we share documents and share information and communicate. I think that we're also going into a really interesting time outside of technology and on a personal level. I think businesses are looking to become more human in the way that they interact with their customers and where their employees interact. Now, human typically has been around face-to-face meetings, shaking hands, sharing beers, having a laugh, high-fiving, all of these things that we've had. And I think that businesses are going to look to these platforms, which make up the modern way of working, to try and help them become more human and more connected to their teams. And it's going to be a challenge because we much prefer in most cases to be building those relationships face to face. We're going to see more orchestration. We're going to see more automation. That's going to be significant. We're also going to see the influx of AI, etc., in different tool sets, and whether that's Cortana or we're starting to see a lot more businesses use that a lot more. I know a lot of people in my organization, me included, because my writing is that of a, I don't think it's actually got any better since I was 15. I use Grammarly a lot, which would be seen as an AI tool there as well. So we're going to see a lot more of these additional tool sets around the modern workplace, which will follow the same trends that we're seeing outside of this in the likes of machine learning, AI, analytics, etc. I think we will see email expand even more, but also see Teams and Slack expand even more. That's my personal view on this. I know a lot of the market says that the likes of email's dead. I just don't believe that it is. I think it's going to be actually more critical than ever, and email's got a significant place, and it still is one of the number one attack vectors out there. So we'll see even more attacks to email, but we'll also see more security solutions built around modernizing the way that email and Teams and Slack, etc., is used. I was just kind of finishing there with the mindset. And I think one of the big challenges that we're going to see for the modern workplace is actually a big challenge just for people in general. There's so much uncertainty in the world. We're going into lockdowns, out of lockdowns. Who knows what's going to happen in the US and in the UK since their freedom days, and that's starting to get a lot of traction, and it's great to see everybody out and about again, but obviously it comes with some caution. And likewise, in Australia, we're going through some challenges at the moment. So I think the biggest problem we're going to see with the modern workplace isn't actually the technology. It's the way that people interact with it. We've got people tired of sitting in front of computers. We've got people tired of Zooms. We've got people tired of Teams chats. And they've got this fatigue that goes with being in front of their computers and laptops and phones every day. So my fear is that we become so efficient in communicating that we can never switch off. So I think the challenge is going to come for businesses to make sure that they have clear lines of delineation between using a very well automated, productive modern workplace tool set and the mental health of the users which are doing it. So I think that's a big problem that needs to be addressed. And if technology can do that, then great. If not, we need to take more collective responsibility.
That's all we have time for this week in Identity Today with me, Blair Crawford. I'd like to say a big thank you to our guest, Noel Allnut, as well as a big thank you to you, our listeners. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, and if you want to know more about how to go passwordless and enable your modern workplace, go to Daltrey.com. Until next time.